AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the return of domestic football after the international break. Brendan Rodgers hits out at cowardly leaks from inside the club to newspapers speculating about his future. Russell Martin confirms Nicholas Raskin will not be in the Rangers squad for the game against Hearts tomorrow. And there's a huge card up and down the country, up and down the leagues, including the likes of Aberdeen still looking for their first league point. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
If River City had the storylines that this city of ours had, then they wouldn't be taking the programme off the air. Somebody stabbed Brendan Rodgers in the back and he's still at Celtic. Who was it? The search begins. Nico Raskin, arguably Rangers' best player, can't get a game under Russell Martin. What's he done to deserve being an outcast? And if Jimmy Tilleen doesn't get a point tomorrow after three games and nil point, then he's in bother because the club are backing him big time in terms of the money spent on new players and they're bottom of the table. What a weekend, Scott.
Yeah, just when I thought we would be back here talking about the actual football game and then obviously you get the bombshell of the interviews obviously with Raskin and then Brendan Rodgers on the cowardly stuff, which I'm sure we'll get into. But in terms of the football front, I think Hearts Rangers, obviously the big one, everyone looking to see how can Rangers pick up their first Premiership win. Obviously at home, Hearts have been doing well, obviously up there with Celtic at the top of the table and then Celtic travel to Kilmarnock on Sunday. So let's see what we're in for.
You've got a scenario there whereby if Rangers were to lose tomorrow and they have yet to win a league game, Rangers could be 9 points behind Hearts and Celtic if Celtic can overcome who stabbed Brendan and get something at Rugby Park.
And a fan protest before it. I mean, you forgot that bit as well. Look, today did not disappoint. We knew that it was all building up to this because there's been so much said over the international break for both Celtic and Rangers and others, but today was the first time in 2 weeks we've had the chance to speak to Brendan Rodgers or Russell Martin. 9 o'clock, nice and early, Rangers get in there and Russell Martin straight off the bat confirms Nicholas Raskin, despite what all the fans seem to think, will not be involved against Hearts tomorrow. So quite simply, what is your reaction to that? Are you understanding any of this? Do you disagree with it? If you're picking sides, are you on the player's side, the manager's side? Are you somewhere in the middle? How do you think this plays out? Let us know, please. 0141 951 1025. And then at lunchtime came Brendan Rodgers. Just indulge me and Hugh for a second, right? We've sat in many of these press conferences over the years, and every now and then, maybe once or twice a season, you just sit there and you can just feel that there's a big deal in the air. Let me tell you, today was one of those days. 32 minutes long was Brendan Rodgers' press conference. Again, that might not mean a lot to you if you not keep an eye on these things. That's long. I can assure you that is very, very long for a Friday afternoon. A whole host of topics. How was the transfer window? What happened with Adam Ida? How did you end up with Iheanacho? Does Daizen Maeda want to leave? How are you going to play in front of a fan protest? Oh, and by the way, what did you make of somebody in the club suggesting that you're trying to engineer your exit from the club? Cowardly, he says, and at length. There was maybe, I know this is radio, there might even have been a wee wink at the camera, Hugh Keevans, well, when he was asked, it sounds a bit like you know who this is, Brendan. Yeah. And he said, nothing. He went silent. He said, nope. And it looked to me like there was a wink, either that or there was something stuck in his eye.
And you were there and I wasn't, but they tell me it was standing room only, a much higher attendance for the press conference than you would normally get.
Yeah, I mean, they're always busy, but I would say it was maximum, I would say.
Did anyone, any random passerby mention the game?
No, genuinely not. And Brendan Rodgers made joke of that. He stood up at the end, and as he was walking out, he said, "By the way, Kilmarnock are going to play 4-5-1 as if like he knew you wouldn't. But honestly, what a day it was. So much for us to discuss. So 0141 951 1025. Let's dive straight in. Like I said, it was early this morning. Russell Martin, let's just hear from him, and then you give us your take on this. Nicholas Raskin, will he be involved tomorrow or not?
Yeah, no, he won't be in the squad tomorrow. We have a lot of conversations, as we do with every player. But he's back training with the squad, which is a good step. And now, like every player really, has a duty to make sure that he earns the trust of all his other teammates and the coaching staff and the staff in the building to help us win football matches. It's the same for every player here. No, I just said, I think everyone needs to... We have to be on the pitch with trust and feeling and clarity, and that's it. And I think the most important thing is that Nico knows why, the players know why, and we all move forward. And we have to win football matches now, and he's part of a squad in training that needs to help that and put himself back in the squad and the team to help us win matches. Well, it is resolved because he's still here and he's training with the group now, so it's fine. It's never a personal thing. It's always professional. My job is to do what I feel is best for the team, for the club. It's not about me, it's not about Nico, it's about everyone. And we've got a really good group now, a really good squad. We're so happy with it after the transfer window shut. I think we're in such a stronger position, and I'm really excited about what this group can go and achieve now.
Ryan is on the line. Ryan, what do you make of that then?
Hi, morning. How you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
I'm calling. I'm on Russell. Sorry, first of all, can I just... have a little, it's my father-in-law's birthday today, 60th birthday, and we're currently in Portugal, so I'm always upstairs right now listening to it, so I just want to have a little surprise from
Ryan. Brilliant. What's his name, Ryan?
Bobby.
Bobby, happy birthday. Spend it in Portugal as well, where we are here in Clydebank in the pouring rain. We're not envious at all. Go on,
my 60th birthday was in Partickborough Hall.
Exactly, quite right for
not
you as
quite
well.
Quite the same thing.
Go on then, Ryan. Impress him with your take on this Russell Martin and Nico Raskin situation.
I'm currently siding to Russell Martin. I think Raskin this season anyway. Last season, unbelievable, best player by far for us in a Rangers jersey. But this season, first couple of games wasn't looking like his usual self. Obviously, I think he might be getting played out of not his strongest position. He was getting played in one of the eights instead of six. But even when he got pushed into the six, I don't think he's shown much. I think barring against Celtic a couple of weeks ago, by far, but the best I've seen playing in number six. So I think Raskin needs to prove himself to get back into the Rangers team, albeit we're struggling at the minute, as you know. But I do think it's shown strong leadership from Martin to do this. He knows Raskin's a very popular player within the fan base, and obviously all the Ibrox against Club Brugge are singing his name. I feel like he needs to prove himself, in my opinion.
Right, so you're kind of edging towards siding with the manager on this then, you would say, yeah?
No, definitely, yeah.
Strong leadership, says Ryan, in Portugal. Hugh, do you recognise that?
No. I think he makes a rod for his own back because Rangers have gone four games, drawn all four. If any points are dropped tomorrow, Russell Martin is under severe pressure. We also have mystery number two. If Nico Raskin has lost the trust of the others in the dressing room, why has he lost the trust?
Seems quickly on mystery number one then, though. Is that not strong leadership from Russell Martin? I'm not saying it's right or wrong or good or bad, but if in the face of all that, if in the face of everything that could go wrong for Russell Martin here, he's choosing to do this, is it not at least strong? I didn't say right or wrong, but you know what I mean? Because the easy thing, if anything, that would be to sort of compromise your principles in this moment.
But I would sum it up by saying, yes, strong, but on your head be it if anything goes wrong.
You see what I mean, Scott, though? Without being in there, so you don't... It's very hard to say who's right or wrong, other than the way Ryan presents it outside. We all know Nico Raskin has been good for Rangers and he's a fan's favourite. But Russell Martin must know, if Rangers do not beat Hearts tomorrow, while he's left Nico Raskin out, there's only one guy that's going to get it in the neck. So it's strong, if nothing else, no?
Yeah, it's strong. I think you got to look at in terms of his interview there, he's talking about the player earning the player's trust. from a player's perspective, he obviously hasn't been training well. I think that's first and foremost, that's what that would allude to. He's not been training well. In terms of the Rangers' performances, he hasn't been great. There's no question that. Goes away with Belgium and by all accounts done really well. You then look at the boys who have come in, so Conor Barron, for instance, and comes in, probably trains well every day. It's very hard for a manager to see the guys who are fighting to get an opportunity. And for the greater good, if you're one of the players and then Raskin does what he's obviously been doing, trying to leave the club or whatever, Russell Martin has come out and said at times, for the good of the players, looking at this, they go, well, he's gave Conor Barron a chance. Obviously, Cameron came in and, yes, he might not be as good as Raskin in terms of technically both of them, but he's gave them the chance, and that's down to probably training well and how they've handled themselves
during the week. During the week, he's playing beside Kevin De Bruyne for Belgium against Kazakhstan.
I get it.
Can't get a game against Hearts at Ibrox.
But what does it say to the rest of the players who, as I said, are probably training properly on a daily basis, to then windows closing now wants to be part of it again? I think Russell Martin's in the right for me.
At the same time, Ryan, Russell Martin doesn't appear to have that much goodwill in the tank amongst the Rangers fans. So is this the time for him to be making these types of decisions, or do you just make life a bit easier for yourself, get Nicholas Raskin involved again?
Well, listen, it would be taking an easy option if he was doing that, and a lot of people would be doing that, and I think for me, again, Hugh's disagreeing with me, I understand that Scott isn't. I think he has been really strong in what he's doing. He doesn't think somebody just warrants a place because they were good last season. Raskin's played 3 times for us in the league this season. Every single performance hasn't been good enough. Barron comes in against Celtic, it was good enough. He's done well enough to keep his spot, in my opinion.
What about your fellow Rangers fans, Ryan, who did chant his name during the Celtic match? They were taking the side of the player over the manager.
Oh, of course. No, of course they were, but and I don't blame them, because we're currently sitting 7th in league, 4 points out of 12. That's not good enough, Hugh. And like, I understand why they want to side with Nico Raskin, but not one player is bigger than the club. And I feel we've been through here. Raskin's been here the last 3-4 years. Raskin has won 1 trophy for us. That's not good enough either, Hugh, is it? We need to try and find a balance between playing well but also winning, and we've not been doing that with Raskin in the team. I want Raskin back in the team, and I feel we're on a better team.
In fairness to Nico Raskin, the fact that he's only been part of 1 trophy winning side is not just down to him, it's down to the entire team and management.
Let's thank Ryan, enjoy the rest of the birthday celebrations in Portugal. What about Jordan? Whose side are you on, if that's the right question, Jordan? Maybe you're on nobody's side, but what do you think?
Good evening, gents. Good evening, Hugh, Scott, Gordon. It's not very regular that I actually agree with you, Hugh, but you've said some points there that I agree with you. This is some hill to die on for Russell Martin if he wants to go down this path.
Yep.
This is a player that plays beside Yuri Tielemans, Kevin De Bruyne, scores for Belgium, is clearly confident, coming back on a high, and his club manager shoots him down and tells him, not only are you not starting, you're not in the squad. Where are we going with this? Like, this is crazy. Why are we doing this? This is one of our best players, one of our biggest assets, and we're going to lose out on major money here.
That's why I say, Jordan, that yes, it's strong on the part of Russell Martin, but on your head be it if anything goes wrong. And if Rangers don't take all 3 points tomorrow, on his head it will be.
But hypothetically, and again, I'll underline that, Jordan, hypothetically, because I'm not saying Nicholas Raskin's been an absolute terror. I don't know. I've not been in there. But hypothetically, let's just say he has been really tough to work with, really terrible to manage, a really bad teammate. To what extent is all of that okay because you're Rangers' best player, in your opinion?
So
how far would it go is what I'm trying to say, right? So just in theory, again, hypothetically, if you've got someone who is a genuine nightmare, would that still be okay if he was the best player? So if he's not the best player, that's fine. You can get rid of him. But if he's the best player, he can do what he wants?
No, but clearly Russell Martin doesn't have man management skills then. There was supposed to be a chat between him, Kevin Fellwell, and Russell Martin, Kevin Fellwell, and Nico Raskin were meant to sit down when he came back. This has clearly not happened. I think Russell Martin is taking
He's taken a moral high ground and he wants to be the winner on this. No, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. He needs to understand this is one of our best players. And if he wants to leave him out of the squad and we lose tomorrow and we get overrun in the middle of the park, watch what happens.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you can imagine that the chance. And for Russell Martin's answer to that, I think, would be the bit about, you know, should have had talks. He was sort of pressed on like where the situation's been and where it's heading. He said, well, he's back training. So there is that. I think he's trying to put across today.
Who's he training with?
No, back the training team. With the team.
Yeah.
So I think that was him trying to say, well, like, there's been a step taken and there's still further to go.
Yeah, listen, I understand, obviously, Jordan's frustrations in terms of looking at that midfield. And yes, on his day, he's just Rangers' best midfielder. But I think in terms of the manager, when you're obviously under a bit of pressure and you're trying to create a confidence and a belief in the group between each other, which he has spoken about. Even when he came out with his interviews and he spoke about the noise outside, he's trying to create something within the group. If he feels that's really affecting him trying to do that, which is his job as head coach, then he's got every right to, and he's given him a bit of leeway to get back in. What would that look like? Training well consistently, and then maybe depending on how the result goes, he might get back in quicker. But there's got to be, you got to respect the head coach's decision in that, if he feels that it's affecting the players around
the point. I'm trying to make, Hugh, is we've all heard this so many times over the years about certain players get a bit more leeway because they're the match winner or they're the maverick or whatever. I'm sure Henrik Larsson would maybe get away with things at Celtic that other players didn't. However, just this notion that because he's very good, let's say there is a line and it was crossed, because we don't know. Yeah. Jordan, myself, we don't know. We're lying if we claim that we do. So,
not even on the bench, Gordon. You know what I mean?
Hypothetically, if a line was crossed, is that okay because he's the best player?
No, it's not okay. But at the same time, if Rangers do drop points tomorrow, Raskan will become the main topic of conversation, and there comes a point where the manager or head coach cannot go on taking a stance when it's harmful to the team.
But can you if it's right?
Yeah, for me you can.
Even if it's harmful to the team?
Yeah, but he obviously feels that how he's conducting himself is harmful to the team.
Why is it not a possibility? And I now feel as if I know something and I'm attacking Nicholas Raskin. It's really genuinely not that. I'm clueless as to what's going on. What if Nicholas Raskin's harmful to the team?
Well, in that case, Russell Martin should have come clean. He said the players know why he's not there. Russell Martin, the head coach, knows why he's not there. Well, come clean.
But you can't, because that's the whole point. He's an asset. So you can't. You can leave him out, and then that might be problematic. But you can't necessarily reveal that he's this or he's that when you've got an asset sitting there in international football. You can't torch the full thing just now.
Well, you've got an asset then who is simply sitting there doing nothing and losing his value by not playing.
Fans will chant his name tomorrow, though, won't they, Jordan? Nice and early, you would imagine.
Oh, definitely, even before kickoff. But just to go back on that, so it's okay to drop points for Russell Martin to have the moral high ground and be right. This is where it's got coming to. Russell Martin needs to pick the best squad of players to beat teams. Now, he's not doing
okay,
that.
Okay,
he's
on that then, on that. Okay, players. So just so I know where your rules are, irrespective of anything whatsoever, yeah? So any level of conduct would go, as long as you're not leaving out good players.
Well, Barry Ferguson managed to manage Nico Raskin.
That doesn't answer the question, though. So is there no line? Would there be no line for you as long as a player was good?
There would be a line.
Well, then, so how do you know it hasn't been crossed?
Because he's come out and he said in his interview he wants to be at the club. See, if he's seen that interview after the Belgium game, if he didn't want to be there, he would have said, I don't want to be there, I'm not happy with the manager. But he's clearly put the olive branch out and said, look, let's sort this out. He's come back from international duty and Russell Martin's gone, nah, just stay where you are. He says he's training. I bet he's training with the B team or something.
Just to touch on your point about, is there anything that would make him an undesirable? If I were Mr. Raskin's legal representation, I would say, you're blackening my client's name here without actually specifying anything. He's lost the trust. Well, tell us why he's lost the trust.
But I don't think Nicholas Raskin's legal representation would want that answer out there either. Well, there will be a reason.
Do you know what the answer is?
I think at the same time, though, if you're solely relying on Nico Rashton, you get a home win in the Premiership, there's bigger problems.
Okay, thank you very much. 01419511025. Get the calls in. We'll speak to you next. What about you, Celtic fans? Brendan Rodgers hits out at a cowardly leak from within the club, suggesting that he could be looking to leave. Has that interested you today? Do you want to keep going with Russell Martin, Nico Raskin? You decide. Speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, and if you two, I'm glad you've got the fancy specs you're both wearing. Have you got that anti-glare coating on them? Because you want to see the way these phone lines are lighting up. See if this screen was in front of you two, you'd be in bother.
I've got the anti-glare.
I know you do. I can tell they're expensive ones you're wearing, no doubt about it. Let's keep going then. I won't waste much more of your time because I've got some genuinely box office stuff from Brendan Rodgers just around the corner. Let's go Darren first, though, picking up on the Raskin situation from before the break. Darren?
Good evening, panel. How are we all?
Good. How are you, more importantly?
Yeah, not too bad. At least it's Friday, that's the main thing.
Exactly.
Going into the weekend with a degree of misguided optimism as a Rangers supporter, hopefully, but we'll see. The big thing is, I kind of want to pick up on a point that was made earlier on about man management. And I think this is where the perception of, like, from a Rangers fan's point of view, is where Russell Martin's going wrong. Like, I get that, you know, he's obviously kind of been dropped for a reason and he's alluded to these reasons, but I think he needs to come out and say, look, if this is a disciplinary issue, it's not a form issue, it's not a player ability issue, it's a disciplinary issue. And I think he needs to say, like, because this player's not even in the lineup or the travelling squad, there needs to be clarity as to why. Obviously, there's man management in the public domain, needs to be better. And if this player, if Raskin's been disciplined for a reason and he's been removed from the squad for a reason, we, as a support, in the sort of bubble that is the Old Firm, we need that to be clearer. And that's my sort of point, that showing poor man management in the public domain, that he's not willing to come out and say, Raskin's been naughty, this is why we're doing this.
See, Darren, I agree with you. I think that, you know, if there is a strong reason why Russell Martin cannot have Nico Raskin in his squad, then by all means, let it be known. Because otherwise, I think the player is treated in an unfair way, because you leave it open to all manner of speculation as to why he's not there. I assume it's purely and simply a football reason. Conduct within the Auchenhowie training complex, whatever. But clarity. This situation demands clarity. Otherwise, the manager, head coach, could be unfairly criticised because he hasn't said what's going on behind the background. Or the player is being unfairly criticised because Russell Martin has overstated the problem that he has with the player. Clarity. Just tell us, and then we can all make our mind up.
See, similarly, Darren, and I appreciate we are where we are and we can't tell the future, but because we're having to dive in now almost, and there's an expectation that you either say it's Nico Raskin's fault or it's bad man management from Russell Martin. Let's say Rangers beat Hearts tomorrow. Nicholas Raskin slowly but surely makes his return to the team, goes on to play brilliantly between now and the end of what turns out to be a successful season for Rangers. That then goes down as brilliant man management from Russell Martin, does it not?
I would argue still no, like, because players can return to the fold and still deliver. I suppose
he hadn't been delivering this season before this anyway.
Well, has he been given a? Is there a reason around Auchenhowie that's caused that? Which is obviously in everyone's workplace, there's going to be things that press your buttons, I suppose, and it's all about being professional on both sides, from a management and a personnel point of view, and maybe that's kind of where this disconnect's happening. If you kind of look back to times of old, I suppose, when, you know, the Barry Ferguson, Paul Le Guin issue, that was aired very, very, very publicly, and then I suppose there was a time with Kenny Miller and the alleged leaking of stuff and through his misses and all that kind of came out in the sort of I suppose, the pressers and more of the public domain, and then they kind of dissipated. Like, the longer Russell Martin keeps the true reasons quiet, and for whatever reason that may well be, the longer that kind of rumbles on, like was alluded to by Shug there, it's just going to keep rumbling on, and speculation does nobody any favour.
Yeah. I thought Russell Martin was absolutely correct when he mentioned why Hamza Egerman didn't come on at Paisley, because he just refused to come.
And then
come
Russell Martin play. Gets slaughtered for that by some people, saying he's saying too much.
No, not by me. I thought that he was quite right. Why should he take the heat?
Yeah, no, I get that. Listen, claret's great for us. You try to tell me that I wouldn't want to roll up to the Rangers training centre and have Russell Martin reveal all. I'd love it. But I suppose the point I'm getting to, Scott, is how do you, like, realistically, and I don't know if this is the reason, I keep repeating it, but Russell Martin's not going to sit there and say, like, to be honest with you guys, he's just been a nightmare. He's been an absolute nightmare. He's undermining me. He's questioning my training drills. The things I tell him he needs to improve on, he disagrees with. Hugh's getting his clarity, but managers never doing that. Not a million years.
No. Listen, I think in terms of Russell Martin, if he is, I think the fact he's not in the squad, it's not a football performance thing.
Obviously. To be fair, Russell Martin says it's not personal, it's professional.
If you're reading between the lines, I would say it was to do with conduct. At the same time, you might not want to have all the clarity with everyone in the open, because he might be protecting the player for some reason. He's also protecting an asset that Rangers, obviously down the line, will look to make some money off. So for me, I think tomorrow is an interesting one. If Rangers can put on a performance and then gradually integrate him back into the squad, then all this will be forgotten, and it will be classed as good man management from Russell Martin.
Well, he slaughtered Egerman, and rightly so, because why should he take the heat when Rangers drop points and he's getting it in the neck? But at the same time, a player refused to go on and play, and they still managed to sell him for 10 million.
Yeah, but I suppose there was the talk about that being his release clause, and maybe Rangers wanted more and so on. Well, how do you think this plays out, Darren? How do you think it goes from here?
I'm not optimistic about tomorrow. I think, you know, there's too much bluster going in and around the team that's not been managed well enough. And I think the Raskin thing is going to be a distraction for the other players as well, who will have, you know, they'll have the weight of the expectation of the supporters to deliver in the absence of this. I think they've got Hearts might. I'm not saying we'll get beat, but I don't think we'll win.
Darren, I think if you're a Conor Barron and you're looking to cement a place in the team, what's going on with Nico Raskin, is in your favour to go and do well and have the trust in the managers to play games. That's how when someone else falls out of the team, it's an opportunity for someone else, and that is the way the guys who haven't been playing will be looking at it.
Just as well, if you think you should at least leave our minds open, because we're all biased. I think that's sort of fine. People don't really like Russell Martin. The Rangers fans don't really like Russell Martin. Correct. And they do like Nico Raskin.
Correct.
So it was always going to have most people leaning towards that opinion that you know, that Darren has. You go back to Paul Le Guin and Barry Ferguson if you want. I think we're comparing apples and oranges, but similar in that you've got popular player, unpopular manager. Yeah. Had Russell Martin won 10 out of 10 so far, he's been heralded tonight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all really just comes back down to that.
Le Guin, the whole spat with Barry Ferguson, Le Guin lasted 31 matches as Rangers manager, and it just wasn't doing the job in the sack. But Russell Martin has to understand that, fairly or unfairly, if Rangers drop any points tomorrow, the first thing that people will say is Nico Raskin.
Thank you to Darren. Just a quick one: if you want to listen to the show without adverts, you can sign up to Rio Premium, so enjoy the best of Super Scoreboard without the interruptions. You can start a free trial at Clyde1.com using the code Clyde1. The subscription automatically renews, $3.99 a month at the end of the trial period, but you can cancel any time. The full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Some of the most interesting comments we've heard from a manager in a long time from Brendan Rodgers today. We'll hear them next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We've got a couple of callers, Stephen and Bobby, who've been hanging on for ages. So let's just give them the build-up. This is what they called about, so we might as well hear it first. This was Brendan Rodgers on what's going on with stories apparently appearing in the paper that he's engineering his exit from the club?
But listen, the club put out a statement, and I'm not here to answer those questions because they're not mine. That'll be something that, as I said, over the coming weeks, I'm sure will become clear on how that evolves. I'm not here to tell supporters how to feel. You know, they feel frustrated. They will have every right to feel that. My job is to drive wherever possible I can the team and the club forward.
Not the clip I meant, but don't worry, we'll get back to that. We'll get it in a second. Let's go, Bobby, who's been hanging on. Give us your thoughts, Bobby, on what's happening at the moment.
Gordon, you, Scott, how's all?
Good, thanks, good.
And Bobby?
Yes, so the elephant in the boardroom for Celtic, he's been there for 20-odd years. We'll remain nameless because he was called a coward by Brendan today, and I think it's by the omission of him saying it. He mentioned Dermot Desmond and he mentioned Michael Nicholson, but he left out the coward. And I think that Celtic fans will be united in unison to get that guy out. I think he's been a problem in all 21 years since he's been there, where his raising death has been trying to keep one step ahead of Rangers. Maybe this season that they didn't sign anyone because they saw, well, the state of Rangers, maybe they need to improve Celtic. The Celtic fans in unison cry out, well, ever since he's been in place, a year after Seville, Rangers have been in two.
Bobby's line keeps like clicking and sort of dropping out. Try and get that clear.
I'm troubled by this for one reason, Gordon. Legally, Brendan Rodgers says that he doesn't know who leaked the story briefing against Brendan Rodgers. And therefore, I'm troubled by naming someone who's not here to defend himself and who has not been named by Brendan Rodgers or the club. So I'm troubled by that suggestion. I don't think that legally you're on strong ground there, Bobby.
Yeah, like, and Bobby's trying to be cryptic, and I've seen a lot of Celtic fans doing this and saying, oh, who is Brendan Rodgers aiming at? But then
Bobby's
also
named him.
Well, he didn't. Well, look, Bobby's alluding to the fact that it's Peter Lowell, right? I think I can say that, and then we can say there's nothing to prove that, and yeah, Peter Lowell has every right to say that's who Bobby was alluding to there, yeah?
I think he named him.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the name. But anyway, I think that's where we're at with that, but you're absolutely right. He would have every right to say, I don't think so, you better go and prove that, et cetera, right? So I think we're okay on that regard. But what this has done is leave all of this quite wide open for stuff like this.
Yeah.
Look at, I mean, let's hear it this time. It's quite incredible stuff from Brendan Rodgers on what's been happening.
Yeah, 100%. As long as everything's aligned and we can operate how we want to. That's why I came back. I came back to hopefully stay for more than 3 years. What I would guarantee was that I would do 3 years. And if going forward, if I do get offered a deal, then of course there needs to be conditions within that allows me to work to the best I possibly can. If not, then it's maybe just there's two philosophies that don't quite add up. And I also accept that. I'll go away, I'll be a Celtic supporter for the rest of my life, and we'll go our separate ways. But I'm hopeful that in the future something can be resolved.
So talking there about his potential to stay for his future, I will promise I'll get you the bit where he says cowardly in just a second.
Anybody awake?
Bobby, like Hugh said, I think Hugh's right. Like, it's difficult to throw out accusations when we can't back them up and all the rest of it, but overall, is this, where does it go here from Brendan Rodgers and whatever sort of power struggle is going on, if it is that?
...was previously also in his last time there. Now, I have it in good authority that Brendan put his notice in just after that he got the board to sign Odson Edward for $9 million. And then when Celtic were doing their usual lowballing for Celtic-minded players, i.e. Mr McGinn, Brendan went to the boards and said, well, let's get this over the line, let's pay the boy money. And maybe Hugh can fully...
Oh, don't do this to me. Do not get him started in John McGinn. I'm terrified, Bobby. I'm joking. I'm not actually having a go. I'm talking about because it's one of Hugh's favourite topics, and I've just got these visions that the year is 2055. Hugh is now 104, and he's still banging on about John McGinn not signing for Celtic.
You know, it will go down in history, in the annals of history, as one of the great transfer window mistakes ever made by Celtic. However, we're back to Bobby saying that he can categorically prove that Brendan Rodgers handed in his notice. There's absolutely no way that we can prove or disprove that. So we have to be careful here and stick to what's going on.
See that phrase, Hugh, though? It is box office, that stuff today, isn't it? Have you seen it? See if you've not seen the video. There's a long version of what I'm about to play. And he says, the question then comes back after all this. It's Brendan, sounds like you know who this is and all that sort of stuff. I think third time lucky, I think we've got it. Let's hear the bit that people are really interested in today.
Yeah, well, it was interesting when it came, when I was shown that. My honest take, I thought it was a cowardly action by whoever it is. It's not something that you would want. And certainly my relationships with the guys that I am close with here within the board, then I would struggle to understand the why. Because like I said, since I've come back in 2016, or came here first and then done my second stint, all I've tried to do is drive the club forward. Was I surprised by it? Not really. I think I was briefed upon the first time I was here when I left, and now since I've come back. But I'm thick-skinned. It's because I want to do so well here and determined to do so well. But I know Dermot, Michael, the guys that I work with on a daily basis, or certainly communicate with on a daily basis, they feel the same as I. But of course, when it comes out and when the need for that to be out there like that, it's disappointing when it does come out. And like I said, it's a cowardly action, but it just makes me more determined to succeed here.
But it sounds like you know where it came from, is that fair to say?
No.
The person who was talking to the paper with that story on the Saturday morning, do you think the club should do an investigation, find out who it is, and you called them cowardly? Do you think they should resign if it's found out who they are?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think if you're sat in the position that I'm in, with, like I said, the weight of the club on your shoulders and to be the spokesperson, to be the manager, and to be the psychologist, and be everything, it's so important that you feel supported. Anyone that is briefing against that person, and whenever they know they could come and speak to me at any time, and I'm here from early morning till late in the evening, or come to my house or do whatever. But I would never ever think, and it's no disrespect to me, I would never ever think of going to bring that to the fore to hurt someone else, especially that when that someone else is trying to give everything to the club and they actually didn't have to come back but wanted to come back because of his love for the club. I'm pretty sure that there'll be some questions asked on it, because like I said, there was quite a bit of detail in there, and wrong I may add, but hopefully we'll find out.
There is a moral obligation on the part of Celtic Football Club to launch an investigation if they do not already know who leaked this story to the Sun newspaper. There's a moral obligation, full investigation, establish who did it, and Brendan Rodgers there was unequivocal. He said that once the person is made known, then they should resign. I think that's a perfectly valid comment. But I repeat, there's a moral obligation on the part of Dermot Desmond, Michael Nicholson, Chief Executive, to conclude this business very, very quickly, and for an apology to be issued to Brendan Rodgers.
See, if you've seen the full thing, Scott, the video format of it, and honestly been in the room, the bit where he's asked, sounds like you know who it was, Brendan. It's a big pause when you're sitting there, and he says, no. Then he's asked again, big pause, no. And I get, watch it, tell me if I'm wrong. I think he winks. I think he genuinely winks at the end. It's so knowing. It's like just one of those things that clearly is I'm got the potential to become a massive deal.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question of that. I think you can completely tell in the tone of his voice there when he's speaking, he's probably wanting to really allude to it. But ultimately, he's got a professional job. I think he touches on there being the spokesman for the club. He is. There's no denying that. I think he's had to answer a lot of questions, whether it's between the playing squad, his future, how the fans are feeling about the board at this moment in time. So yeah, listen, he has got a difficult job on his hands, trying to control all the factors, but there's no question there's a real, I would say, anger in terms of his voice at what's happened last week.
Let's bring in Stephen for his thoughts. Take it away, Stephen.
Hi guys, how are you doing? I'm a first time caller, basically.
Oh, so you've eventually been tipped over the edge, Stephen.
I'll tell you what it is, guys. I'm a bit mystified, basically. I'm a Celtic fan. I'm a bit mystified, basically, there with our fans at the moment. Now, the reason for it there is we're sitting top of the league. We're unbeaten. We've conceded one goal this season. Fans are saying sack the board. I'm not going to disagree with, obviously, the way that they feel. But we're a club that, obviously, we've got to live within our means at the same time here. And I think basically what they're actually doing, they're contaminating the morale basically in the club. I mean, what sort of effect is that going to have on the players? What sort of effect is it going to have on my performance? You know what I mean? And that's my big ask at the moment. Also as well, separating the two of them, the football club and the board itself here. All right, we get knocked out with Kerry, right? This is a terrible result, right? We've got to, but let's be realistic here. Do you think the team that we've got at the moment is equipped to go into the Champions League? I'd certainly say no.
And whose fault is that?
So but who's? Do you think it's true because we've not spent enough money that is the excuse?
Celtic tried to bluff their way into the Champions League and then spent money after they had failed to qualify. And you speak of Celtic having to live within their means. They will issue their annual accounts in a week's time, and they'll probably have in the realms of £100 million in the bank. I think they're living well within their means. Brendan Rodgers mentioned two things. Arithmetic. The arithmetic reference being that he was literally short of players. And then he mentioned the timing of transfers. And the timing argument was not listened to by whoever's responsible for signing players, because they allowed the Karat Almaty game to come and go home and away. And I do accept that Celtic played very, very badly in both games. But they should have strengthened Brendan Rodgers' hand before a Champions League playoff was played. And that's why the support are up in arms. And you can't say we're top of the league and therefore they should not be up in arms. They've played four games.
Stephen?
Well, sure, I take on board what you're saying there, but for sitting top of the league now...
After four games?
Yeah, I've conceded one goal this season. Right?
After four games?
Yes, after four games. Right, so I could understand that if we were sitting there trailing basically in the league... Right, but the COVID type, obviously.
Just quickly, Stephen, because we're pressed for time. See the people who are not happy, and you're allowed to be more. You're allowed to not be as angry. That's fine. But the people who are angry, they're not angry about the league position. That's not what it is. You know, it's not like they don't realise that. It's sort of unrelated for them to where the team sits currently in the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I mean, I do totally get that there, but I don't think. Regardless of how much money we are going to spend, do you think realistically, and I'm talking to both of these guys here, realistically, do you think that we would have been equipped to get any chance basically of winning the Champions League this season?
No, of course not. But
that's not qualification, what people are looking for, is it?
Qualification for the Champions League was well within Celtic's grasp, and proper investment was not made at the proper time. And that's why the fans are up in arms. And Brendan Rodgers knew that better than anyone. The club let down Brendan Rodgers as well.
Thank you very much to Bobby. Before a man, Stephen, it's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Pause for a bit of fun on a Friday night amid all the serious football disagreements.
We have to name the man who stabbed Brendan Rodgers in the back in any of the questions.
You might have to. I'll have a look at them. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. It's 01419511025. And my goodness, it's a busy Friday night. Nico Raskin not in the Rangers squad tomorrow. Is he right? Is he wrong? Russell Martin, whose fault is it? Who's to blame? There are theories, there are accusations flying around about what's going on, and you can apply the same level of cynicism towards Brendan Rodgers' situation. He says there's a cowardly situation going on where someone in the club, someone, is leaking stories to newspapers that he wants to leave when he doesn't. There's going to be a fan protest at the weekend, all the rest of it. We barely talked about actual football tonight in any way, shape,
waste
or form.
Waste of time.
But if you do want to do that, we're here for you. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what we've got with Alex, who's on the line. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Is this your first time playing Beat the Pundit?
It is.
Good stuff. Who would you rather take on if you had the choice? You don't, of course, but if you did.
Scott.
You've only lost one out of four this season.
Yep.
Apparently.
Hughes clean sweep in the summer league as well.
Hughes two from two. So yeah, we'll see how you get on. The blue side of the coin will be Hugh Keevans. The red side will be Scott Allen. So let's see how we go. Do you know what I'm now? Ross McCormick, of all people, thinks he's sussed it all out. He says whatever side the coin starts on, it ends up on the opposite side, apparently. So he says. So now, just in the interest of fairness, I won't look. I won't look at what side it starts on. Okay, we'll move it around a bit. And it is blue for Hugh. So you're going to play against Alex on the line. What we do here is give Hugh something else nice and loud for him so he can't hear your answers, Alex. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay, okay.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Jim Goodwin started his managerial career at which team?
Race.
What was the score last time Hearts played Rangers in the league?
2-1 Rangers.
Who's the manager of East Kilbride?
Pass.
Name any Scottish Premiership manager who's won the top flight as a player. Quick.
Pass.
The SPL had a TV deal with which Irish company in the 2000s?
Fintana Sports.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
Yeah, that was really rotten, wasn't it? The music there. Yeah.
Who was it, Sting? The Police?
He's wrote this.
It doesn't suffer fools, this guy. You ready, Hugh? 30 seconds. Your time starts now. Jim Goodwin started his managerial career at which team?
Alola.
What was the score the last time Hearts played Rangers in the league?
1-1.
Who is the boss of East Kilbride?
Mick Kennedy.
Name any Scottish Premiership manager who's won the top flight as a player?
Stephen Presley.
The SPL had a TV deal with which Irish company in the 2000s?
Setanta Sports.
How many goals have Celtic conceded in the league this season?
One.
Who is the newest managerial appointment in the Scottish Championship? Hold on, your silence. 3, 2, 1.
Pass.
Okay.
Ah.
Right. Let's. Alex, how do you think it went?
Hugh won.
You think so?
Quite easy tonight as well, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Jim Goodwin started his managerial career at Alloa, 1-0 Hugh. The last time Hearts played Rangers, it was 3-1 Rangers. There's not a chance I would get that. See, that type of recall, it's not for me.
No. That's for. Clearly not for me either.
Anoraks like Andy Halliday. Right, if this had gone to Scott Allen, I was scrubbing this question out. You couldn't give this to a member of the East Kilbride coaching staff, but it is Mick Kennedy, the manager of East Kilbride. 2-0 to Hugh Keevans. This was brilliant from you. I think under pressure to dig this one out, the Premiership managers who've won the league as a player, you've only got McInnes or Presley.
Yeah.
So well done to you for digging that one out. 3-0 to Hugh. I was worried for you, Alex. I thought a zero might be on the cards, but you got Setanta Sports. So you've got one on the board, but unfortunately for you, it's 4-1 to Hugh Keevans. Who was the one goal that Celtic conceded in the league against Hugh?
Wasn't Aberdeen, that was 2-0. Mm-hmm. Wasn't St Mirren, that was 1-0.
It was Falkirk in the cup.
So there's none, not conceded any in the league this season. It is zero. So the new, and for the record, the newest managerial appointment in the Championship?
Danny Lennon.
Tony Docherty. There you go, Ross County. That was after Danny Lennon, wasn't it?
Was it?
So did you see Danny Lennon?
No, I thought it was Danny Lennon.
So it was a one for Alex and a four for Hugh Keevans. They're flying this season, aren't you?
3 out of 3.
Brilliant. There we go. Alex, would you come and give it a go again, or does that put you off for life?
No, I'll give it a go again. I just couldn't think of Stephen Presley. I never knew David Kennis on the top flight.
My thinking was Stephen Presley played for Celtic and Rangers. He must have won the title with one of them.
Exactly, good thinking. Alex, what's got more chance of happening? You returning and winning on Beat the Pundit, or your team getting a result at Ibrox for the first time in 11 years?
I think Hearts get a result tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. Do you fancy Hearts in any way, Hugh? There's so much been said about this because there's a perceived, well, probably more than a perceived crisis is the right word. It's the right word in Glasgow. But perceived weakness in Rangers results, that's just there in black and white. There's a lot being said about Hearts and they're going well.
I'll be interested.
Does that, in one of your famous predictions, lead to Hearts getting something?
I was very confident about Hearts until the midweek news that their £1 million Brazilian signing.
Well, it's more than that, I think.
£2 million.
Right, well, you know, he can't play. And Frankie Kent, who does very well in defence for Hearts, he can't play either. So, you know, with Miovski having had another couple of weeks training under his belt, I feel, and Alex, this should really give you a happy Friday night, I feel Rangers are the likelier to win.
Should be a good game though, Scott. We're not getting to the game yet. We've done Nicholas Raskin and whether the fans will chant his name and where this leaves Russell Martin and the big picture of it all. But it should be a good game. It should be a really good one.
Yeah, obviously you've got Asgard as well coming back after scoring the goals for Norway. So you think Rangers are in a much better place than they were before the international break. I think in terms of Hearts, they look a real threat from set pieces. Rangers, to be fair to them, haven't defended cross balls well at all since Russell Martin's come in. So that might be a route that they look to get some from the game. But it'll be interesting to see how Hearts set up, because I think they kind of, as we spoke about before, your team talk kind of, I think, picks itself just in terms of trying to make the crowd get on the players' backs. It's the same for every team who goes to Ibrox. Can you get the crowd quiet? And then a bit of pressure comes. Hearts will be no different. But they do have a bit of quality. I think some of the signs that have come in. Braga as well, for me, has been excellent. Yes, the Brazilian, as Derek McKinnon says, is injured. He could well play good main games.
No, I think he's out.
Generally out. Yeah, okay, so
Derek McKinnon tends to be quite
honest.
Yeah, and I think it's one that probably makes him a risk for next week as well. It wasn't a touch and go for this weekend.
Do you think Derek McKinnon sits in and tries to soak up or gets after Rangers from the start? That is the interesting thing for me, because you have seen him do that and he can really frustrate and look to get him on the counter-attack. But at the same time, I think the Hearts, this is buzzing if the Hearts fans have been in a long time in terms of going in and winning the game at Ibrox, so it's all set for a crack-up.
Well, the Rangers' approach will be interesting, because there's no doubt that Russell Martin had a change of approach against Celtic, because it was absolutely vital that he did not lose the game. But I wonder if he goes back to the original Russell Martin template tomorrow, and if he does that, Hearts will come and have a go. They're obliged to have a go. They're not going to bring the fans there. And
I don't know here.
All that Tony Bloom has said and all this, the hype. Tomorrow is hype versus reality. Is the hype accurate, or is the reality that they're still nowhere near?
But we know this whole debate, though, you know, kind of style versus results, because ultimately, well, let's say it's an ugly draw for Hearts. They've still come to Ibrox, come away with a point, and kept themselves 6 points.
They take that,
you know, ahead of Rangers. So
I'm quite sure they take that now.
And Derek McInnes will just do whatever gives them the best chance of that, wouldn't he?
No question. Yeah, I just feel though, because of the type of players he now has in his squad, that's the one question for me, is what kind of style are going to say, because the players he has had, they went out and get after teams this early on the season. So do you want to try and maintain that, or look to frustrate going the other way?
They'll need to start better than they have in some of the games. Yep. You know, it's great character. You can always spin it both ways, to be 3-0 down and come back against Motherwell to score late against Livy. It's great character. Dundee United, you know, good traits to have, but not every week. That's what I mean.
Yeah, not every week. I think that'll be something that he's obviously looked to work on over the international break. And listen, I think it's all set for an absolute cracker. I think Rangers is going to be really interesting. As I said, players have obviously come in on the last day of the window, guys coming back from international duty who are full of confidence. So let's see what both teams bring.
Well, Russell Martin thinks that the season can start now for Rangers. He says the international break was allowing them the chance to hit the reset button.
The same level of energy and aggression that we played with against Celtic, but I want us to obviously create more, be more attacking, but ultimately I just want to win football matches. So in the next month is a brilliant opportunity to do that. We're playing against some good teams, we're in a good place, but we have to start, and we have to start somewhere, and that has to come tomorrow. Things can change very much by winning tomorrow. We have to start winning for us, for everyone, for the work to really start coming to fruition, for the players to feel that, for us to feel that, to lighten the load of everyone a little bit. So we're doing all we can of work on the training pitch in here, in the meeting room, to win football matches, and that has to start. So we have to do everything we can tomorrow to win the match and win it in our way. The season, we've hit the reset button over the window and all that stuff. Everything's settled down now, so the season has to start here for us.
Gary's on the line in Yoker. Gary, take it away. What's your point tonight?
My point is Russell Martin. I feel as if he's come in for a total clear out at Ibrox. He's not prepared to get any players that's in the squad previous to him coming in a chance. He tried to clear out Butland, Tavernier, every player, and the only time he gave any player a chance was Lyle Cameron, and it was due to injury.
So, and is this in relation to Nicholas Raskin, or is that what's kind of brought all this to head for you?
Yes, if you look at the Nicholas Raskin situation, it was the same with Igmani. They called him out, they called Raskin out, and both players, if you look at them, one's been sold, and now it's the same situation with Raskin.
He was right to call out Igerman because Igerman refused to play, and therefore the manager is entitled to protect himself and to inform the fans of why Igerman did not go onto the pitch at Paisley. I don't believe he's right in the case of Nicholas Raskin. I think he should tell the real story of what's going on, and then we can decide whether he's right or wrong. But I don't remember him trying to get rid of Jack Butland, I have to say, or Tavernier for that matter. But, Rangers, Celtic having won 13 of the last 14 titles, if somebody came in and did try a clear out and a fresh approach, you'd hardly blame them, could you?
Well, if you look at Nicholas Raskin's situation, he's not prepared to bring him back into the squad. He'll not give you the real reason. Igman, was it injury or was it down to the management?
Well, it wasn't injury, no.
No, the player told him he was not fit enough to go onto the park. But he cast doubt on that, very much so, Russell Martin.
But did the player say it?
Well, that's the story that Russell Martin told.
Well, it's the same situation with Raskin. He won't clarify. There is no clarification.
No, he did clarify. He did clarify with Igerman. He just said that the player told him he wasn't going on.
I know you're on this side of things as well, Hugh, but I'll repeat it since if Gary didn't hear earlier. What can Russell Martin say, really, about the specifics? That would just be wrong. And I take your point, because this isn't good either. I'm not saying this is the ideal scenario, because it leaves the door open for speculation. But whatever the issue is between him and Nicholas Raskin, he's never going to come out and explain it all.
Well, why not?
Because like I said, some things that stay between a group as well, Hugh, that's common through the world of football.
Yeah, but
you don't have to know every single thing that goes on between a manager
time,
and a player.
At the same time...
Well, like I said to you then, if it's this, and this has annoyed me now because I'm having to come up with hypothetical reasons when I don't know if it is. If the reason is Russell Martin thinks Nicholas Raskin is a nightmare, undermines him, disagrees with him when he shouldn't in training, you think he can sit there and say that?
Why not?
That, it just feels so unfathomable. Like, there must be a reason you never hear managers say that.
Well, the difference with Igerman, Hugh, was it was before the window, and he probably after that sort of thing, especially that they were poor at St Mirren.
Well,
Igerman refuses to go on, and then he comes out and says it, and then there's no option but they have to sell him at some point. Now they have Raskin until January minimum. You have to try and control that situation.
Yeah, but the breakdown in relationship between the head coach and Raskin began while the window was open.
So, I know, but it's different in terms of now the window's shut.
I just think that it's, if there is a very good reason why he's not in the squad, fine and dandy, but let people know. Otherwise, you allow all manner of speculation to build up around Raskin, where he's accused of this, that and the other.
But that's just an unfortunate byproduct of the situation. Put it this way, you've been in this game a long time. Since the dawn of that time, players have been left out of squads for various reasons. The managers never tell you what it is.
Oh, I think over the course of the years, yes, there have been managers who would tell you. But I repeat.
Well, let me ask you, Scott. You've played a lot. And in recent times, if a manager, have you seen players being bombed by the manager because there's a disagreement or yes. whatever? Does the manager ever say in the public domain what that disagreement was?
No, and the player doesn't want that either.
Why not?
Because in terms of your what it says about you as a person to other clubs is that you could potentially be a bad egg.
That's my point, though.
You could take that conclusion anyway.
Nico Raskin's character has been called into question here.
But it could be worse if he gives the truth.
It could be worse. If you reveal the details.
Could be. Well, we'll never know because he's not saying.
But if it's something that in Russell Martin's mind is bad enough for this to be the case, I think once you then reveal specifically, I just feel like the managers are always just going to say, look, some things need to stay behind closed doors. That's between. And I've said that before, I'd love it. How good would it be if we could play out the clip of the laundry getting aired? It's just not going to happen, though.
No, well, but I repeat, tomorrow's game, if anything goes wrong, and by that I mean a draw or a defeat. Draw is a disaster, defeat's a catastrophe. Then the first words heard will be Nico Raskin. And pressure will build up on Russell Martin and the club in general, Kevin Thelwell, because there were much trumpeted talks going to take place. Have they taken place? If so, what went wrong? Because Raskin's position was as bad as it was going into the talks.
He says no because he's now training with the first team group and he wasn't. That was like it seemed like he went to make that distinction today. So it may not be far along the road as Gary wants or as other people, but he was asked, so are you hoping this can get resolved? And he says, well, it is resolved because he's back training.
Well, as I say, clarity, you know, of the type that we could have done with the weekend of the Rangers-Celtic game when Nico Raskin was training. The bit that was left out was that he wasn't training for the first team.
Yeah. All right, Gary, thank you very much. It's a good time to call. We will get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, it is time for you two to tackle the full-time teaser. Let's see what we've got here. Billy in Partick says, since 1980, I think you'll scoosh this, you. Maybe a bit more of Hugh's era, but you can join it. Since 1986, former Rangers players have managed Hearts on a permanent basis. Since 1986, former Rangers players have managed Hearts on a permanent basis. Can you name them?
Alec McDonald.
Yep.
Derek McInnes.
Yeah, we'll leave it there because I think you're going to make good progress here. So thanks to Billy and Partick for sending in. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to submit your questions, and please do. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers, who was speaking at length today. I told you it was a 32 minute press conference. I know that might not mean a lot to people, but when you have to go and sit through them every week, trust me, that's long. That is maybe twice as long as normal. So there was so much to get through. He spoke, obviously, we heard earlier about the cowardly comment from whoever it is that has leaked information to the press, or false information, as Brendan Rodgers feels. Lots of other interesting topics. So here's what he had to say about Daizen Maeda's situation currently.
To me, I wasn't surprised by that because I've known since the end of February where Daizen was at. You know, we spoke a lot. He's continued to give everything, and he's in his game and his training. Yeah, he had a few options to go, and ones that would have been great for him and his family and in terms of his life, but it didn't materialise. So it's now my job to now he's here again, is to convince him to go again. And I've done that with players before. You know, I had Luis Suarez at the end of my first season when it was deemed he was going to Arsenal, and I had to convince him to stay, and then he ended up having an amazing season, and then after that went to Barcelona. So it's not new to my career.
A situation entirely of Celtic's making. You know, Maeda has had a very poor start to the season, and what's happened now in the window is not going to help him at all. But apparently he first intimated to Celtic in February that he wanted to move on. And, you know, they couldn't let him go in the last days of the transfer window because they had no replacement for him. Again, the transfer window's a horror story for Celtic, and Brendan Rodgers is fed up with it.
That one's interesting, Scott, I think, because although everything is, it's easy to say everything's a farce at Celtic at the moment, I still think players don't always get to leave when they want to.
No.
You know, I think that's just part. And as he said before, you're talking high profile examples. He's had Luis Suarez, who thought he was going to leave and didn't. And you then need to get a tune out of him and he maybe gets his move at another time. There's always a business argument that says maybe you're now approaching the suboptimal time to sell Deison Maeda because his contract is running down. But he won't be the first person who's had to stay after thinking he was going to leave. He won't be the last. It just so happens it's in amongst a whole lot of nonsense going on at the moment.
Yeah, and you take into account all the nonsense going on. There was just, in no world could Celtic let Deison Maeda go this summer. For me, I think we spoke about it last week, how integral he is when he's on top form. I think there's no question it's obviously gotten away with some of his performances since he's came back. He hasn't quite looked the same, hasn't quite played with the same impetus. But for me, now, window's shut. He's obviously came back from international duty, and it's now Brendan Rodgers, as well as some of the other players who haven't quite been at it so far. He's now got the job up until January to get a tune out of the squad. He get a tune out of his best player in Maeda when he's firing. But Celtic play with a bit of intensity again, because all the stuff that's went with it, yes, we can talk about transfer. In terms of performances, they haven't been great in terms of where they have been.
Just for the avoidance of doubt, Brendan Rodgers did actually say in his press conference today that he takes responsibility.
Yeah.
And you know, the football team and him take responsibility for the Champions League as well. So they don't want to hide away from that. We messed up at home, and then it left us going over and hoping, and then you don't score, and then it goes to penalties. So there was an acknowledgement in there from him, because this keeps happening on this show where some people say, don't let Brendan Rodgers off with this, or don't let the team off with it.
Yeah.
He did point that out today, that he acknowledged that.
It's an amazing story, Deison Maeda. You know, he had a Champions League qualification for Celtic in his hands, put through in Kazakhstan in the dying minutes of regulation time, and it was all there, and he skied the ball over the bar. Be interesting to see if he does start the match on Sunday, Deison Maeda, or whether they'll go with Kelechi.
You're not
in
sure.
Says
he's, for all intents and purposes, fit and ready to take part.
But I just
you'd be surprised if he started.
I would be surprised, but by the same token, you know, Maeda, he can say that he'll knuckle down and everything will be fine, but point number one, he wasn't playing well anyway. And point number two, the window ended in a fashion that was deeply disappointing for him. I mean, my understanding is he had gone from Lennoxtown, he cleared out his belongings and was definitely on his way.
Can that happen though, Scott, where a player then, the window closing, not fixes everything, but if Deison Maeda wants to move in January, he'll now need to play well.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like, it might be frustrating, but it is done and for now. So he can down tools if he wants, but that's not going to, it doesn't seem the type.
No, I'd be very surprised. I think now, obviously, the window shuts. I think it's now time to reset again, obviously refocus. I think you could say, you can tell in his performances, he's not quite been there. So it's now a time for him to refocus. He can be the guy that springboards, obviously, Celtic now, putting performances together. Yes, they've had some results, but in terms of performance, it's been nowhere near where Celtic have been.
Johnny is in Edinburgh. There's a lot going on at your club, Johnny.
Hi, good evening. I trust you're all well.
Thank you.
I'm just like a lot of your callers, and from a distance watching this, it's like watching the fall of Rome, and I don't understand why. If you look at this, less than 9 months ago, Champions League, great team, engaged manager, engaged support, no protestations against the board, no walking in 12 minutes out, and to where we are now. And I don't get it. I'm trying to understand, and I do try to understand the genesis of where this has come from and who, if you wish, the protagonist in all of this. I don't get it. Why? It's a form of, you talked about Brexit being economic self-harm. This is club self-harm. Why would you do this to your own club? And I don't know why. And I'd love to hear some thoughts from the panel.
Inefficiency. In a word, inefficiency. 9 months ago, Kyogo Furuhashi leaves and is not replaced. Jota, out with Celtic's control, gets a very bad injury and has to go out for the remainder of this year. But he's not adequately replaced. Nicholas Kuhn is sold for a tremendous profit and is not adequately replaced. Up front, on Sunday at Kilmarnock, you will have two new signings. One has played part of a game at Ibrox. The other one has yet to play at all. And possibly three new signings if the manager decides to go with Iheanacho. But Kuhn, Kyogo, Jota all drop out and are not adequately replaced. And Brendan Rodgers went on about the timing of transfers, the need to get business done at an appropriate moment. And Celtic went to a Champions League playoff tie with a squad that needed but was not strengthened. And that's why the supporters are accusing the board of inefficiency, of dilatory behaviour, and that's why you get a situation where they're badly upset and they have to put up with a 1,000-word statement which turns out to be claptrap from their club, in which they try to blame the UEFA financial fair play regulations for their inability to bring players when they were in nowhere near any danger of breaching those financial fair play regulations. It is a story of inefficiency, and that's why the fans are the way they are, Johnny.
I come back on that. Everything you mentioned there, the consequences of inefficiency, I'm not asking about the consequences of how inefficient they've been. I'm asking about why would they do it? More motivation. That's a different question.
Well, I'm assuming it'd be really, it's not all by design, Johnny. You wouldn't have thought, would you? It's a series of bad decisions.
That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. Why would they do that to themselves?
Because they are, during transfer windows, inefficient. They
not deliberately.
No, not deliberately. But inefficiency, my understanding of inefficiency is it's not deliberate. You're just not doing what you should do properly.
But why wouldn't you do yourself properly?
Well, you'd have to ask them, because it's a recurring theme at Celtic.
No, but if you don't, like I say, if it's not by design, like they're not deliberately doing these things. Do you know what I mean? What answer would they possibly give? They're not meaning to not get these players in, but surely there is just an issue with the way they go about their business, whether it is...
But they gave a series of excuses, and I'll underline that word, a series of excuses in their 1,000-word-long statement, and they only succeeded in antagonising an already infuriated support. It was a thoroughly ill-advised, ill-conceived statement, and it made matters much worse because it was far too easy to disprove everything they said.
Brendan Rodgers was asked about that today as well, and he said that the communication from the club has to improve going forward as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a lot
You're
in there.
You're not kidding.
We won't mention the fact that the statement was released at 8:42 last Saturday night when sensible people were out doing things.
Just annoyed, interrupted his red wine on Saturday night. Johnny, you mentioned about the kind of fall, Johnny, and well, like whose fault it is and why you would do it. I take your point. How do you see this playing out? Is this going to be over anytime soon? Because, I mean, I'm fascinated by Brendan Rodgers today, who on one hand said that there is cowardly behaviour going on with someone briefing against him, the club should investigate it, that person should be sacked essentially or resign or whatever. But a bit later on in the press conference, he said he wants everyone to be pulling in the right direction and he wouldn't want people to look from the outside and think that they're not together as a club. I mean, they can't be together as a club.
No, from a distance, I don't think they are. And that's it's going back to that. There's something rotten at the core there, continuing that theme. I think there's something not quite right there. For example, my great-uncle Jimmy was the QC in the Celtic board and went through the Celtic Ferguson can. He was one of the good guys, actually.
Jimmy Devlin?
I don't want us to fall back into that.
Johnny, was it Jimmy Devlin?
Farrell. He was a QC. The thing is, like, you don't want to go back there. But the things that are getting put in place at the moment, you're now getting a fan protest again. 9 months ago, we were nowhere near that. So what's happened in those 9 months is the bit I'm trying to get my head around.
But it's perfectly self-evident what happened. Celtic turned a very good team into a very ordinary team.
Very quickly, I get what Johnny's talking about, because you and I have done this a few times, don't want to be repetitive. People are like drawing comparisons to 1994 when, granted, I wasn't there and didn't go through it, to me or to it can't be like that. It can't be as serious as that, or as grave a situation as that was.
No, very, very quick history lesson. In 1994, Celtic hadn't won a trophy since 1989. Can you imagine now, 5 years without a trophy? They'd also accumulated debts that were going to close the club down. Today, they will publish figures next week which will show they will have probably £100 million in the bank.
And that's going to be next, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I'm just asking there, how does this end? This is going to be, if that's true, and I don't doubt your accountancy,
yeah,
because I think you're right, this is going to be the first time ever that a football club's announced £100 million in the bank, and it's going to be met like it's disastrous news, and because the reaction to that's going to be incredible.
And the first thing the fans will say is, what is the point when you have already stated as a club that it is inefficient to have vast amounts of wealth sitting there doing nothing, and then you pay corporation tax on those vast amounts of wealth? So the club, in a week, have gone from somebody stabbed the manager in the back by leaking an inaccurate story. Then they issued a 1,000-word statement which infuriated the support. And now we've got the River City mystery, who stabbed Brendan? So they're all over the shop. And they have to be very careful at Kilmarnock on Sunday.
12 minutes is the allotted time for the protest at the weekend. So some fans, the problem is, I don't know how many. I doubt that whole away stand is going to sit empty for 12 minutes. I just can't see it. I feel like a lot of people will go and won't do that. And they'll say, you won't tell me what to do, and I'll go in. As a player, ask Brendan Rodgers this and Callum McGregor today. Callum McGregor said, yeah, we might mention it tomorrow, but you know, players know what's going on. I'm not sure if they all would. Do you think, I don't know, I think Kelechi Iheanacho knows there's going to be a fan protest.
Not a chance.
Do you think Sebastian Tonetki knows? I'm not sure about that. How do you think that would feel as a player to run out there if, let's just say, it is empty, right, or largely empty? Did it spook you or what?
No, I don't think it would spook you. Listen, it's probably easy for me to say because I'm from Glasgow and you would obviously know what was going on. Callum McGregor's obviously spoke to you today, and he would, there's no doubt he would inform the players who are obviously not from Scotland what was going on, and that was why the situation is what it is. But
how do you think you'd explain it in 20 seconds? Imagine that. Listen, I just need... So
they're not going to be there for 12 minutes.
This all started when... How would you? Because then you'd be bringing Johnny on. They would be going, oh, I thought I was signing for a club that was in the Champions League. Nearly in the quarterfinals a couple of months ago.
I think you're 100% correct. I don't know how you give a quick summary of events covering the last week.
Look, in the huddle. Is that what he's going to do in the huddle this weekend?
Look, Sebastian, it's like this. Somebody stabbed the manager in the back, and then the club issued a statement with daft. And then the manager had a press conference in which he called somebody, a person, a coward. So, are you up to speed?
Welcome.
Now?
Here's the ball. Go and do something with
it. Off you go now.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate the time you've taken. That was Johnny in Edinburgh. This teaser tonight is as follows. Can you name the six former Rangers players who've managed Hearts on a permanent basis since 1980? You've got McInnes and Alex McDonald.
Stephen Naismith.
Yes.
Sandy Clark.
Yes, we'll leave it there and we'll get the rest when we return.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
I almost forgot about this because it's been so busy tonight, but I've been looking forward to this. It's been a highlight of my Fridays. Do you think you know your football better than our pundits? Of course you do. You've got the chance to prove it every Friday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So what we ask you to do is we ask you to pick the outcome of three games over the weekend. That's it, just the outcome, not even the score. And because Robert only managed one out of the three last week, we've added another £100. There's now £400 up for grabs, and all you need to do: Rangers Hearts, Falkirk St Mirren, Kilmarnock Celtic. Home win, away win or draw. You just need to get the three outcomes right, you'd win the £400. It's all thanks to McNair's. So call 01419511025 right now. Over 18s only. You have until the end of this ad break, and we'll pick one caller at random. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
Yes, we've teamed up with McNair's for our Pundit Predictor. We want to give you the chance to win tonight £400, because it goes up and up every week that you don't get this right. And all you have to do is predict the outcome of three weekend games. It is that simple. Rangers against Hearts, Falkirk against St Mirren, Kilmarnock against Celtic. Thank you to everybody who called in. Extremely popular. I can still see the phone lines lighting up. If you are still trying to get through in the nicest way possible, you can hang up. Thank you very much. But we've got the caller selected at random. You'll need to give it a go next week if you're still trying to get through. So on the line, we've got Kyle from Falkirk. How's it going, Kyle?
Not bad, mate. Yourself?
How are you as a predictor, a tipster?
I hope it'll go better than my cribs.
Well, that's what we aim to do here. And Hugh Evans is the world's worst at it. So all you have to do is try and show him how it's done. So three games for you. We'll go Rangers, Hearts, home win, away win or draw.
I'm going to go for an away one.
Okay, wow. First time since 2014. Your own team, Falkirk, at home to St Mirren?
Home win.
Home win. And Kilmarnock at home to Celtic?
I'm going to go for an away one.
Okay, so Hearts to win at Ibrox, Falkirk to beat St Mirren, and Celtic to win at Kilmarnock. Just out of curiosity, Hugh, you're hopeless anyway. What would you go?
I would go home win Ibrox, away win Falkirk, and draw at Rugby Park.
Not agreeing with any of Kyle's selections. That's the way we like it. Well, Kyle, buckle up, enjoy the weekend, and we find out over the weekend if you win that £400 on Monday night show. If not, we roll over to next week and add another £100 to the pot thanks to McNair's. What have you made of the Bairns start to the season?
I actually think it's been a no bad start for coming up, but I think we're going to grow stronger as the season goes on, and I think we should avoid the relegation, to be honest.
Yeah, the Aberdeen win's a great one, isn't it? Just look, I know they went down to 10 men, but even at that, to get that 3 points and be sitting there with a pretty healthy points tally after the first break, isn't it?
Definitely. So it'll be interesting to see how we get on tomorrow with the fans back on at the home ground as well. So hopefully get a win tomorrow and just keep going on from there.
Yeah. Big test of Falkirk tomorrow. They were superb in winning at Pittodrie, and nothing can be taken away from that. But I think St Mirren, you know, real stuffy opponent, got a draw against the Rangers, very unlucky to lose to Celtic on the opening day of the season. They will pose your team a lot of problems tomorrow, Kyle.
I'll try, but
if we play how we can play and find those funny things, I think we could also cause them a lot of problems. So I think it'll be an exciting game.
Good.
I'll try and explain what I mean by this, Scott, but it feels like St Mirren is like the sort of the very embodiment of a Premiership challenge when you come up. Do you know, like, so Celtic and Rangers, you can kind of take out of the equation in the city. They always hear that cliche, you're maybe not season defined against them, or you're maybe not judged against them. There's just something about St Mirren, they're just like that, they've just got it. They have got the Premiership. You know, there would have been, Airdrie have taken an early lead at Partick Thistle. Not good news for Mark Wilson, but great news for Danny Lennon. You know, like St Mirren at a time where, like, Falkirk had to come into the Premiership, and now they are so well established, they're pushing up the table, they're a small club who punches above their weight, and just got it. Them coming is a real test.
Yeah, listen, they've been consistent, obviously, for, I think that's three top six finishes for Stephen Robinson, and listen, he's done a fantastic job. I think tomorrow for Falkirk, you'll find out a lot about them in terms of coming up against that, because there's no question they will make it really difficult for Falkirk to obviously play the way they want to play. But if they were to come through, I think they would take a lot of confidence. Yes, they win against Aberdeen was a fantastic result. They went down to 10 men, but there was a lot of good chances created by Falkirk. But I think they would take even more confidence to beat that St Mirren team, just because of the consistency they've had over the last few seasons and the physicality that they bring.
Yeah, thank you to Kyle. So it's Cole McKinnon has put Airdrie 1 up at Partick Thistle. It's a great start. We were saying before, Mark Wilson's been doing pretty well, doing some good things. Danny Lennon in as the new Clyde manager. New Airdrie manager.
Yeah, terrific strike. Absolutely terrific strike. Nice to see Danny back in the game. I'll never forget going with Fraser Wishart to see Clyde Bank playing Clyde in the Scottish Cup when Danny was the Clyde manager. And the first thing he said to me, Scott, was, "Are you still going about?"
Still kicking a ball.
Yeah.
Still kicking a ball.
But yes, it's a good start for Airdrie. Elsewhere in the Premiership tomorrow, is there anything jumping out that we've not mentioned?
Well, as I say, I'm fascinated by Aberdeen. Three games played, no points, bottom of the table. Livy always a nuisance. And Aberdeen, you know, spent good money, made good signings, Stuart Armstrong, and, you know, he's got to win tomorrow, or the Aberdeen crowd definitely start to ask questions of Jimmy Tilleen, because in 30 matches, he's won five of them. Five! That's a scandalous record.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think it's time Aberdeen need to start. They start winning games. I think the signing Stuart, obviously I know from my time coming through at Dundee United, played in the youth team together, I think he does add something different, a bit of experience and a bit of quality in that final third. Nisbet coming in, obviously they know what he possesses, and he does know what the goal is, and I think it's Carlson as well, who by all accounts is a fantastic player. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Freedom all start. If it, I think in terms of going for Yenge, for me, I've seen enough of him now to know that he ain't going to be the guy to get you goals, so I think they need to get Nisbet in the team as soon as possible and start firing, because ultimately they just haven't clicked for a long, long time now. It's taken out the Scottish Cup game in isolation.
Dundee against Motherwell, I'm interested, obviously, in my own personal feelings, but Motherwell have got so much praise for the way they've played, and honestly, see if you've actually watched the games, it's not empty. It's not like, they've knocked it about and it's been quite nice. It's been genuinely really good and really effective at moving the ball up the pitch. Now what's happened is really bad goalkeeping error against Kilmarnock, a pretty bad goalkeeping error at Tynecastle as well, so I get why people then say we've drawn all four games, you know, calm down, who cares if you vote. But tomorrow then would be an example of a fixture that, again, understandably, people from the outside would say, oh come on then, if your football is that good, surely you'll go to Dundee and win.
Yeah, I would feel like, so I'd seen Dundee against United last week, I think 2 weeks ago, I think Motherwell strong favourites in terms of how they've been playing going up there. I think from a Dundee point of view, I watched them at home against United, and you would expect them to be a lot braver than they actually were on the day, and they just didn't cause any sort of threat at all. Simon Murray was isolated up top, obviously the 15 league goals last year, and they genuinely boomed it long to him and just hoping that it would land in front of goal and he'd be able to get a shot away. So I didn't really see anything from a Dundee point of view that would make me think they could win the game.
Right, plenty to look forward to then over the weekend. I mean, what a Friday it's been. And we'll see what now happens on the pitch over the weekend. You two have a couple just to get in the teaser. You've absolutely scooshed it tonight. Thank you to Billy and Partick for sending it. Since 1980, six former Rangers players have managed Hearts on a permanent basis. Can you name them? Alex McDonald, Sandy Clark, Stephen Naismith, Derek McInnes.
I'm stuck here. It's going back to the 80s, I think.
Someone was co-manager with Alex McDonald.
Sandy Jordan.
There you go. So we'll stick him in as well. And the last one. Famous footballing managerial family. Oh. There's no doubt you must have locked horns with this guy at some point.
What year are we talking about here?
Well, yeah, the kind of the 80s probably. Maybe, former famous managerial brother as well.
Former Rangers player.
Oh, McLean.
Jim McLean.
Tommy.
There we go. Tommy McLean. Thank you to Hugh Evans and Scott Allen. And thank you. That was so busy on the phone. So apologies if you didn't get through. The beauty of this show, it's on every day, so you've always got the chance to do it again. And tomorrow, there is so much to look forward to. I'm actually gutted to be missing out. I won't be here. Andrew McLean, though, will look after you. Just imagine. Rangers Hearts, Saturday, 3 p.m. When the old football should be played. You've got Raskin and Martin and McInnes and the 6-point gap and all that stuff. It's going to be an absolute cracker. That's before you get to the rest of tomorrow's games and Brendan Rodgers and the cowards and the banners and the protests on Sunday. What a weekend you've got. Stay here, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you're paying attention, and for the rest of your Friday night, it's the GBX. Have a good one.